One thing that a theme that runs through a lot of the stories is that it takes a long time. And it takes longer than people think to relaunch. And the idea that you're sitting there submitting hundreds of resumes online and hearing nothing, not even a rejection, but nothing for a really long time, and realizing that you need to take that next hard step, which is actually to start having conversations with people and connecting with them in different ways. And how do you actually do that?
Welcome to the Women, Career and Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sirisha Kuchimanchi, a former semiconductor tech executive at Texas Instruments, a speaker and an entrepreneur, and definitely a working mom. Take a listen at this episode as I open the wall to bring back some classics, which have really resonated, not only with me, but with a lot of listeners. I hope this helps you in whatever stage you are in that you're trying to navigate at this time.
Today, I have a guest speaker. She is a pioneer in the career reentry space, is a podcaster, has also done a TED Talk with over 3.6 million views, and is the author of the Harvard Business Review, The 40-Year-Old Intern. She also co-leads and co-founded the Reentry Task Force with the Society of Women Engineers in the STEM space. I would like to welcome Carol Fishman-Cohen. Carol, thanks for being here today.
Hi, Sirisha. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So before I jump into iRelaunch, which is the organization that you lead, I wanted to take a few minutes to hear your story and what made you get into the space and how do you empower women?
Before I got into this space with iRelaunch, I lived this myself. So I was a financial analyst at an investment banking firm in the late 80s, a long time ago, and my company collapsed while I was on maternity leave with my first child. And so that began my career break. I decided not to go looking for the next big job, and I had three more kids in close succession, and I was home with them for 11 years from 1990 until 2001. So, that was 30 years ago at the beginning of that. When I returned to work in 2001, I returned to an investment firm where there were people who used to work with me from the investment bank years before, and they remembered me. And that's how we got this whole concept of being frozen in time, when people remember you from the past, when if you went to school together or worked together. So they had a frozen in time view of me. I got hired, and I have been through every phase of this transition firsthand. So first I lived it. Then subsequently, I wrote a book about it with another relauncher, Vivian Steer-Raven. We got a book contract to write a book called Back on the Career Track. There was an auction for the book. We got paid in advance. It came out in 2007. And that was the same year that we co-founded iRelaunch.
Nice. Very good. Seen some of the podcasts that you've had and some of the workshops you have. I know you have other events as well. So can you actually talk a little bit about iRelaunch itself? What does it do to help women enter the workforce?
At iRelaunch, our mission is to normalize the career path that includes the career break. Our vision is that every company that runs a student internship program at the entry level should be running a mid-career re-entry program side by side. And we're the pioneering company in the return to work space. We work extensively with employers to help them create and expand their own in-house return to work programs. And we've worked with over 200 clients on return to work programs and programming over the years. And we also lead and support a community of almost 100,000 relaunchers who are in all stages of returning to work after career breaks from 1 to over 20 years for a whole range of reasons. And it's men and women, even though it's predominantly still a female pool.
That's awesome. You are absolutely right. It's not just a female-oriented thing. It is men and women. And I think with COVID right now, the way the situation is, it affects everybody from all walks of life in all spaces. And I really like the fact about your book. I know I didn't mention it before, but that's pretty neat that you have a book that actually helps women or men or other people to just see where to get into that space as well and what to do.
You know, and I should say the book came out in 2007. So instead of doing a 10-year anniversary edition to the book, we decided that we had so much knowledge that we had gained through working with thousands of relaunchers since the book came out that we created a product called Roadmap, which you can access through the iRelaunch site. And it has some of the original principles from the book, but it also has tremendous new learnings, and it's 30 steps and 5 phases. And we really get into all the details of how people can make that transition back to work. So that is the primary offering we have now for relaunchers that captures the bulk of our knowledge in terms of strategy.
That is really good, because I think it, when anyone is making the transition, I've had my own career breaks twice, got laid off, and then I took a break for kids. And when you're making that transition, you're already mentally overwhelmed with a lot of stuff going on. So it will help to have a roadmap and someone who's had that experience to help you walk through it, either through the relaunch community, the 100,000 members you're talking about, or even just having a sheet of paper that I can just check off the box and say, yes, okay, I've got this step.
It's worksheets and podcasts and videocasts and lots of content, and people can jump in at any point that's relevant for them. So it's a really effective tool.
I know you did a TED Talk. Like I said, it's got over 3.6 million views. Very impressive. So what were some of the key takeaways?
The TED Talk I actually did in November of 2015, and it was a local Boston TED Talk from TEDx Beacon Street. But then in spring of 2016, the Big TED platform editors selected it to be on the Big TED. So that's when it started to amass the millions of views. And it's been an amazing vehicle to connect with individuals and companies all over the world that are interested in career reentry strategy and helping people return to work. So the key messages in it are, first of all, that's completely possible to relaunch your career after a career break, even if it's an extended career break. And in fact, on our podcast, we have a mini series of people who take longest career breaks. And the range of the longest career breaks range from 25 to 31 years, even people returning to technical roles. It's almost 6 years after the original talk. And we have documented so many more success stories. It's completely possible to relaunch your career. You have to think about exactly what you want to do. That's your job, not the employer's job, to figure out where you can add the most value. You have to reinvigorate your network. So connect with those people who have that frozen in time view of you. You can connect with people who are junior to you, who've been moving up while you have been on career break. They can often open a door for you. And you can start that reskilling and upskilling part at any time. So one message I want to make sure to communicate to relaunchers is that we know, we're realistic at iRelaunch. We know that people take career breaks for a reason, and that they're not immediately taking their career break so they can then be strategizing on how they can get back to work. You have to do what you plan to do on your career break. And if you can keep up on the side with what's going on in your field, that is going to be helpful to you later, but it's totally possible to relaunch if you haven't done that. And let me just put in one piece of advice for people who are still working, who are anticipating the future career break. And that is to document some of your milestone moments right now while you're living them. Anytime you've learned something, positive or negative, write it down, create an e-file. And it doesn't have to be anything perfect or grammatically correct, just dictate into your phone and add to it. Because if you take a career break years later, when you're returning, one of the key things you need are anecdotes from your prior significant work experiences. So you can talk about examples of what is relevant to an employer, even years later, based on something in detail that you actually did. And you will remember that, and you will thank yourself if you had taken notes when it was actually happening, as opposed to having to recreate the past years later.
Yeah, that's really good advice, because I think the stories stick with us, not the verbiage that we use. And like you said, now with video and audio recording devices, it may not be a bad thing to even record yourself and just save it on tape. Yeah, I like that. And the upskilling, and I think what you emphasize is key, right? Some of the onus lies on whoever is coming back on what it is that you want to come back to, because it may not be where you were before, but pivot that and your energy and your passion might be a little different based on your break. If it's 5 years or 15 years or 20 years on how you want to drive that career when you return.
And I say, make that work for you, because what we tell employers at one of the attributes of relaunchers is that we are not in exploratory career mode anymore. Like we appropriately should be early in our careers. We are more fully formed as people. We're more self-aware. We have a better, the career break actually gave us the opportunity to reflect on whether we were on the right career path to begin with. So once we're relaunching, you're getting someone who has already gone through this thought process of where their interests and skills are strongest now and where they can add the most value to an employer. So that's why we say to relaunchers, if they're at a career fair or even at one of the, at the iRelaunch return to work conferences, don't go up to the employers and say, I'll do anything. They don't want to hear that. They want you to have already done the work to figure out where you can add the most value. And I'll just mention one more thing from the TED Talk is I talk about that you have to go public with your job search and tell everyone that you're interested in returning to work. And you have to expect that you are going to have many conversations that don't go anywhere. And out of those many conversations will yield a few that will ultimately lead to that special opportunity for you. But don't get discouraged when you have lots of conversations that don't go anywhere. And don't only rely on researching companies online and applying online, because that almost always does not work for the relauncher. You have to develop those personal relationships. And it could be someone at your place of worship or someone who you know casually or a friend of theirs who turns out to be that key person. You don't have to officially figure out how you're going to network professionally, although you should be doing that too. But it's really a mix of lots of different people that you want to be networking with.
Very true. I think networking is not going to LinkedIn or going to one space, but trying all the different avenues and around your community as well. And LinkedIn does give you the opportunity, right? Looking for work and looking to be hired. And there are different tags that you can put that helps you reconnect. And I've had a couple of friends myself. That's how I got back to work. But I've had other friends who just reached out to someone on LinkedIn and they sent her opportunities and invited her to come and interview. So that wasn't what she was looking for, but it really was a big leap that really enabled her internship.
One of our engineers who was also a military spouse returning to work said that she started commenting on a thread on LinkedIn and connected with some people in her area. She's a civil engineer through that. And they ended up being the key people who that led to an internship that she had that she treated as a returnship.
That's good. There are so many ways now. I think more people are used to the idea of people taking a career break and coming back, probably from 15, 20, 30 years ago, where the culture is more prevalent now. So there are opportunities and people are not going to question your career break as much as before. They understand that people take them. The question is, how are you going to make that jump and entry back?
And that is so significant that you can even say that, because we feel that the complete reframing of the career break from something that used to be the basis of, we're going to toss out this resume because the person had a career break. Now, with more and more companies having formal return to work programs, you have to have the career break in order to be eligible to apply for and participate in them. And we consider that the first step of an institutional shift that we're going through right now in terms of how employers view relaunchers. And that was accelerated by what happened with COVID.
Just going through the break, coming back to work, for me personally, it levels at a lot of things. It wasn't intentional, but I realized as I look back now, it's been a decade since I came back to work, that my mindset is significantly different from if I had not taken the break. And the sort of the risks I'm willing to take are a bit more than I would have. And there is a sort of maturity, maybe is the right word, or a sort of a different type of confidence that, okay, I've done this, what can be done and how to make that change. And I, to your point, when you were talking earlier about the confidence, the maturity, and just where people are coming from, it's different from when you're early to when you're taking it at your mid or you've taken a break and you come back. Mm-hmm. Different attributes you bring to work that are not as easily upskilled or acknowledged when you're streaming through the process as such.
And this is something we talk to employers about a lot, the attributes of the relauncher, not only one, as you're saying before, where we talked about we're more fully formed as people and can pinpoint more about what we want to do, but the idea that's always been true about relaunchers and this yourself is that we took career breaks for reasons that had nothing to do with our work performance. And that's why we're a hidden talent pool. And companies are, or employers are discovering more and more about the skill set that relaunchers offer. So education, experience, the mature perspective, as you're talking about, we've worked already. We've worked on teams with different personalities and we faced work deadlines before. That does not have to be taught. Perspective that we bring, we have an energy and enthusiasm because we're so excited to be back at work and managers often comment on that. And in general, more there's a critical mass of relaunchers inside organizations now for the programs that have been running longer. And we're starting to see changes because of that. We see relaunchers wanting to hire other relaunchers and it being not viewing that as risky. It used to be perceived as risky. And now it's, we want the relaunchers because we know how great they are. So we're witnessing in real time a shift that's happening.
Very true. In my own case and other cases, I've seen where people are willing to reach out and help. And I think the frozen in time is very true statement because some of them have been 15-year breaks, 13-year breaks, and it doesn't take them long. And some of the re-entries have been where people have had to take a step back from where their original roles were. And what's happened is in those cases, it's helped them also acclimatize to returning, but also helped them for people to get to know them. And they've gone back to their original roles in 6 months or 9 months. It hasn't taken them long to step back where they were.
I love that you're highlighting that because one of the things that we've been, one of the, I'd say a hot topic inside companies about return to work relaunchers and return to work programs is all around level and compensation. And at what level do people convert or come back to work? And we see some risk averseness on the part of the relaunchers themselves and the companies, because the relauncher might think, I've been away for 10 years, so maybe I should come back in at a more junior level. That's probably a better gradual way to go. The employer might be thinking, we want to set people up for success. So let's err on the side, more junior, and so we're not pushing it. And then the relauncher advances at a quicker rate than it, getting used to performing on the job again, than either they themselves or the employer anticipated. So then the question is, do we build into some of these programs like a level adjustment where that's off cycle that might be for the end of the year, whenever you normally do that? So it's interesting that you're saying that you've seen relaunchers, I'm guessing even outside programs, who come on board and then ramp up very quickly, even if they've had been on career break for an extended period.
Yeah, and you're right. These are people who have not necessarily entered through a program as such. It's been through this networking, reaching out, the opportunity coming, and people actually, in some cases, they've been extremely willing to help where you were not necessarily ready mentally in that space, but they were like, come on, you're ready for it. Let's try it. And it's been very successful. And I think the other challenge when someone relaunches is the work part, but it's the personal life space, right? We're all trying to figure out how to work. Many often people take breaks for either family reasons or other personal reasons. So just how do you get back in? How do you adjust your schedule? There are lots of things that they have to work through. So something for everyone to think about. Yes, there's the work and the job and the pay and what you're going to do, but make sure you have, or you're at least cognizant of all the other pieces that need to mesh together when you're making that move.
That is so true. And interestingly, during COVID, where everything went virtual, nothing to do with career breaks or return to work, but everything went virtual. And so did the return to work programs. And what we found, and we work with relaunchers globally now, so we're seeing this across the world. It is so fascinating that relaunchers in all different countries face the same concerns and they're excited about the same things and their trajectories. And the conversations that we have are, I want to say identical, but nearly identical no matter where in the world. One of the things we are finding is that for people who did take career breaks for childcare reasons, who still have school age or younger kids at home, the virtual relaunch was gentler than the relaunch, as you can imagine, because you relaunched and I relaunched and we both had school age children. The idea that mom's back at work or dad's back at work today and you're still sitting there in the house, you're working, but you have not left the home, you're around, is very different than the first day that you relaunch your career. You actually leave the house and go to the office, you go to work, whatever that means in the kid's mind. And that's just a very different thing. And the relaunchers have commented that's been a more gradual, gentler process for them and their families.
You have over 200 episodes in your podcast. I think it was 210 when I checked today. So you've talked to a lot of different people in different careers with different breaks.
Yep.
And you already talked about the skill set and what they need to do get ready. But I was wondering if you can share some stories. You said somewhat as much as 25 to 30, some are probably quite short, maybe 1 to 2 years. What are some stories? Because those are the ones that are going to stick with people that you would suggest that things to do and things probably not to do as well. We always get great advice on what we should do, but sometimes I find the best advice is what not to do or what I don't want to do. It's just as important. So if you can speak to that.
Well, one thing I want to speak to, which it runs through a lot of the story. So just to give context. So our podcast is called 321 I Relaunch. We release it weekly. It's return to work advice, strategies, and success stories. So most of the time we're talking to relaunchers about the details of their relaunch, and we are getting into a lot of detail because we think that's where the value is to the listener. We also talk to experts who and ask them to take their frameworks and methodologies and apply to the relauncher, even though we did that with Laura Vanderkamp for time management. We've done that with Michael Watkins, the first 90 days. We have that perspective too. We speak with employers. But one thing that a theme that runs through a lot of the stories is that it takes a long time. And it takes longer than people think to relaunch. And the idea that you're sitting there submitting hundreds of resumes online and hearing nothing, not even a rejection, but nothing for a really long time, and realizing that you need to take that next hard step, which is actually to start having conversations with people and connecting with them in different ways. And how do you actually do that? I think that's really hard for people, but I hear over and over again, that's the step that made the difference. So the going public with your job search and taking that step, we used to say, get out of the house. Now that has a different context with COVID, but still this idea of having lots of conversations and telling people that you're getting ready to return to work, what you're interested in doing, asking them what they do. So get in a conversation with them about work and then have them ask you and have prepared, you know, this elevator pitch, this succinct way of talking about what you're interested in doing, and be very specific. So you have to not just say, I'm going into finance, or I'm going to engineering. You have to say, I'm looking for process engineering roles or quality. I want to be a quality engineer. I was in manufacturing engineering before. Now I'm really focused on quality. I just got lean certified because I didn't have that before. You get specific in terms of your goals, and also the grit and resilience that people need to have when they're going through this process and things are either progressing slowly, or maybe they make progress and they actually get a few steps in and then they get rejected, or even at the finals and they don't get it and they have to pick themselves up, start over again. So I'd say, I really appreciate it when our podcast guests are so frank and vulnerable about having a really tough time. I just did an interview that's going to come out in a few weeks, a nurse who now does legal compliance work related to medical procedures, but she went back into nursing first because her partner had a prolonged layoff and finances were really tight. And she said, I know she listened to our podcast. She says, I know you talk to people who chose to go back to work. I had to go back to work. And still, you know, where she talks about her evolution now, a few years later, she talks about it with joy and enthusiasm, even recognizing how hard it was at the very beginning.
Yeah, very true. Because I think in my own space, I was maybe a year and a half into the break, close to 2 years when I was thinking, but it took 3 years to come back. It had to do with economy, a lot of things. It was 2008, 2009. So I went to a job fair. I think there were 10 jobs, 1,000 people. I took a step back and said, okay, this is going to be hard. And yes, you will not hear from anyone. Those are all things to keep in mind. It's And I think it comes back to, again and again, talking about what you want to do and talking to people, that information interview or information gathering, because you're also trying to find out what opportunities are there. It has changed. The space has changed. So it's for you to go find out what those spaces are so you can see where you fit in, and even reach out to some old friends and send your resume. Because I've had people, I've done it, and I've had people reach out to me and send their resumes. And then you're saying, okay, reformat it, highlight this. Have you talked about this? Because when you start talking to people, you find out what the stories are behind. And some of those are the ones that you want to highlight in your resume, not your title and what you did so much as some key aspects that people might be looking for that you need to step up and put there so that they can see it.
You're absolutely right. And this whole concept, we actually use those words. We advise people when they're getting back in touch with people from the past, rekindling relationships, that they don't just go in opportunistically, can you help me find a job? You want to refocus on rebuilding the relationship first and talk about being in information gathering mode. We actually use those things. Say you're in information gathering mode. I want to become a subject matter expert all over again in preparation for my return to work. And can you recommend an expert, or who do you follow, or where are the most interesting conversations happening about what's going on in our field? And then the other thing that you said that made me think of one more thing during the podcast is almost every person says, my career break lasted a lot longer than I thought. Because I thought I was only going to be out a year or two. And then next thing you know, 5 years went by. And that's why we're thinking these COVID career breaks. I don't think people are going to be bouncing, running back into the workforce so fast. First of all, once you're on career break, then other things happen where you're the person on career break. So you then suddenly have responsibility for them, or maybe you wouldn't have before. Also with a COVID situation, we're not sure how stable is it. If you have kids, are they going to be back in school? Is there going to be some, are they weird hours or weird days, or people have to come home? How are you going to handle that? And then the fallout from it, there's mental health fallout. There's trying to make sure there's stability in the household and all different levels. And that is going to keep people out longer to make sure that things are more stable before they're ready to go back in.
So a segue comment I have to that is, I know when I took my break that it wasn't like an intentional thing, but I actually got to spend time building friendships. It's investing in that many years later, it's really helped. And I think there are so many things you get out of that career break. That is that community, that friends, that tribe that's going to keep you going as either through the break. The interesting, funny thing is every one of us who are on career break is working now. So we all went through that transition. Oh, different years, trying to figure out at different times in different ways, some through school, some through this, and some after even a longer break or their first time jobs 15, 20 years after. So they've been different transition stories right there. It's good to have a balance of all of that, because there's just people going through so many different situations. You can learn something from all of it and just absolutely have that support.
And along one of the podcasts that we did earlier on is with Quay Kelch Maddox, who is actually on our advisory board. And she returned to work as a producer after a 13-year career break. She now works for CNN. And that podcast is all about how enriching her career break was. And so the experiences that you have on career break and what you bring with you because you've had that experience, then back to the workforce. And that's another reason I think employers are recognizing they want our viewpoint. We're coming from a different perspective and it should be in the mix.
Very true. Like that you said, you interviewed Laura Vanderkam, because I've read her book 168 Hours and yeah. Me and a friend actually really like it, because I think it's a great exercise. I don't know if you've tried it yourself, the 2-week exercise where you go and look at your time in like 15, 30 minute intervals and it's eye-opening. When we all say we don't have time, yes, we lead very busy lives, no doubt about it. But I think it gives you a perspective on where do you want to spend your time and how do you want to spend it? Sort of level sets and then gives you a nice visual to see, oh, maybe this is what I should or should choose not to do. And then you can have the conversation with yourself on what you want to do. Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. I love, so just to give people the background. So Laura Vanderkam, time management expert, looks, instead of looking at time as 24-hour days, she looks at time in terms of 168-hour weeks. And how do you spend that time? Certain amount of hours sleeping. And she had 1,000 people mapped out their time in 15-minute increments and did all these time studies. And I actually follow her on Insta, and she herself just had a fifth child. And so I'm always watching her to see how is she managing the time so productively with the kids, and she's writing books and doing everything. So she really lives the perfect example of what she talks about. But yeah, very helpful strategies there.
This has been a great conversation, because it's not just about relaunching as much as everything else that sort of the web, the network around it to make people successful and think about it. As we're getting close to wrapping up the episode, this is a question I ask every guest. What quality or advice would you give your 21-year-old self for the decades ahead?
I've learned this from working with thousands of people who are at mid-career on career break, who use that time to examine whether they were on the right career path to begin with. And I think that's because we tend to fall into something without a lot of thought when we're younger. First of all, we are not fully formed as people yet. We really should be in broad exploratory mode during our 20s, because either we'll fall into something by accident because it happened to be there, and then you take another job in the same field, and the next thing you know, you have a career, or we're fulfilling someone else's expectations. My parents always wanted me to go to law school, so I went. Then I realized I don't even want to be a lawyer. So having enough of those conversations with people at midpoint, when people are 21, and I give this advice to 21-year-olds, people in their 20s, is go out and have as many different experiences as you can, and don't pressure yourself to have it all together by the time you're 30. And that's what I would do. And I want to give the caveat that some people might say, yeah, that's all nice and good, Carol, as long as you don't have tremendous amounts of debt that you have to pay off. So I'm not saying to ignore that. You can certainly have a stable job that is not your favorite job because you're getting income from it and paying down your loans. And as a side gig or a side interest, you're exploring on your own time other options for yourself.
So I'm glad you clarified that, because there are things you can do in your outside your work time as well that kind of balances everything out. One last question. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Ooh, enthusiastic.
That's good.
I love what I'm doing, and I love the impact, and I love watching in real time results of a lot of work over a long period of time. So very enthusiastic, very excited about what's to come.
It's amazing, right? You've built a community of 100,000 people, and if you have, you know, as many views as you have on TED Talk, and you have so many podcasts out there, there's a lot of community that you are not aware of that is listening or seeing this and taking nuggets out of it. So to look forward and look back and say, okay, I've had an impact, not just on a person's life or this, but also a systemic change. Like you said, over 15 years, now talking about career break is a bit more normalized than it was before when you started. Just that shift in conversation is a fulfilling experience in itself, and your enthusiasm carries through when you're talking about it. So that's fantastic, and thanks for doing that.
Thanks for the opportunity to have the conversation. I love, Sarisha, that you yourself are an example of what is possible in a relaunch. And I think those examples are so important, not only for individuals to be inspired by, but for employers to see what is possible.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Sarisha.
And if you want to reach out to Carol or iRelaunch, you can reach out on Twitter or LinkedIn at Carol Fishman Cohen, or look for iRelaunch on those two sites. Tune in every other Wednesday to catch the next episode. Please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I would love to hear from you about your stories and your journey. You can reach me on my blog, Instagram, or Gmail at Women, Career, and Life. If you think a friend may benefit from this, please share this podcast with them. Remember, there are infinite possibilities to drive change in career and life. Which will you choose to make a reality today?